الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والرحمة المهداة للعالمين الشافع المشفع يوم الدين. أما بعد، وعلى آله الطيبين وأزواجه الطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين وصحابته الغر الميامين وخلفائه الأربعة الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي ومن استنى بسنته المهتدى بهديهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، كنا في لقاء الأمس قد توقفنا عند بيان شيء من الأصول الثلاثة التي هي قلنا أسئلة القبر We have stopped after we clarified the fifth of the أصول الثلاثة, which we said that these are the questions, the three questions of the grave. قلنا بالأمس بأن هذه الأسئلة الثلاثة ما هي؟ We said yesterday, what are these three questions?
من ربك.
من ربك.
من
خلقك. نعم.
ما دينك؟
من نبيك؟ من نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ Three questions. Who's your Lord? What's your religion? Who's your prophet? قلنا أن هذه الأسئلة بسيطة وسهلة, very simple. لكنها في القبر ليست كذلك. But in the grave it is not like that. في القبر قد تتعذر على كثير من المسلمين اليوم. And the grave it might be difficult for many Muslims of today. سبب في ذلك أنهم في جانب من ربك لم يكونوا على عقيدة صحيحة. The reason for that is that in the question, in the answer of the question, who's your Lord? Who's your Rabb? They were not upon the proper and the correct act in their life. فكانوا يشركون. They used to associate other besides Allah. مع أنهم يقولون أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد. Although they used to say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد. لذلك لن تنفعهم. That's why it's not going to benefit them. ولن يستطيعوا إجابة هذا السؤال. And they will not be able to answer this question. وهناك كثير من المسلمين اليوم يقولون أشهد أن محمد رسول الله وهم يحدثون البدع ويسيرون عليها. فهؤلاء لن يتمكنوا في القبر من الإجابة على سؤال من نبيك. And there are people who today Muslims, many Muslims today, who commit innovations. And therefore in the grave you will not be able to answer this question, who's your prophet? نعم. لأنهم تعصبوا إلى غير النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, because they had يعني extremism in regard to follow or blind following Adam عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لذلك في القبر لن يتمكنوا من الإجابة. That's why in the grave they will not be able to have the answer. فمن أراد أن يجيب على هذه الأسئلة الثلاث بيسر وسهولة في القبر فعليه أن يحقق إجاباتها اليوم على ظهر الأرض. من أراد أن يتمكن من الإجابة عليها في باطن الأرض فعليه أن يحقق إجاباتها عمليا على ظهر الأرض. Whoever wants to have the answer of these three questions properly in the depth of the ear, let him then at his lifetime to practice these answers on the surface of the ear while he is still alive. نعم. ثم قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى, and then the author رحمه الله تعالى said, فإذا قيل لك بما عرفت ربك, بما عرفت ربك في الدنيا, كيف عرفت ربك؟ يعني في القبر لن تسأل بما عرفت ربك. القبر لن تسأل بما عرفت ربك، لأن الحديث جاء من ربك وما دينك ومن نبيك، أو جاء في رواية ما تقول لهذا الرجل الذي بعده. He said, if it is said to you, how did you or with what did you know your Lord? As I said, this question is not going to be forwarded in the grave. Because the hadith is clear, three questions only. Who's your Lord? What's the religion? Who's your prophet? لكن لماذا إذا جاء الإمام بهذا السؤال؟ So why the Imam is bringing this question? لأن هذا هو السبيل، هو الآن يعطيك دورة تدريبية عملية في كيفية الإجابة أو البقاء على الإجابة الصحيحة في حياتك لتجيب عنها في قبرك. He is now giving you a practical exercise so that you know how to answer this question practically in your life now while you are still alive. So in the grave you will easily, inshallah ta'ala, be able to answer these questions. نعم. قال فقل بآياتي ومخلوقاتي. هو الآن يريد أن يلفت نظرك، هو ربما لن يسألك أحد في الدنيا، لكن هو يريد أن يلفت نظرك إلى كيف تعرف ربك فلا تعبد غيره. He said, if it is يعني forward, if this question is forwarded to you, how did you know your Lord? Then say by his ayat, signs and makhlukat, creation. Here, the Imam does not mean that you are going to be questioned يعني at this lifetime. Most of the Muslims are not asked, how did you know your Lord? Most of the Muslims, maybe some of them. Right? Why he is saying that? He is bringing to your attention how to strengthen your tawheed, your iman, by looking into the signs of Allah, the proofs and evidences that Allah scattered and spread it all over the world and the creation as well. لأنك إذا تأملت في آيات الله ومخلوقاته ازداد إيمانك، وازداد حبك لله، وازدادت عبوديتك له، وازداد خضوعك واستسلامك له. He wants you to look and think of all this universe. For that you, inshallah, are going to come back with the proper belief, strong relation, real submission, perfect obedience to Allah. لذلك الله عز وجل في آيات كثيرة من القرآن يأمرنا أن نتفكر ونتدبر. نعم. Unlimited numbers of ayat in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala is calling us to look to His creation and think. Think. نعم. هذا ليس للوقوف على معرفة أو ليس لمعرفة من هو ربك، لكن هذا لتوطيد العلاقة، لاستدامة الإذعان والخضوع والعبودية لله. الله تعالى in many verses of the Quran called us to look around us and think of who and how, who created this world and how it is will controlled. Now, this is not to know who, because you're already a believer, but it is to strengthen the relationship between you and your Lord. It is to make you have the real submission to your Lord. It is to make you feel the humiliation to your Lord, and at the same time, يعني to feel the mercy of your Lord upon you. فأنت عندما تنظر مثلا إلى الفيل وضخامته وأنه لا يأكل إلا الأشجار، وأنت على نحالة جسمك تأكل الأشجار وتأكل يعني الثمار وتأكل الحلو والحامض وتأكل اللحم، والفيل لا يأكل اللحم ولا يعرف طعمه. When you look to that and you see the elephant, for example, this massive animal, and you find that this animal only eats grass. But you, although hundreds of times smaller than the elephant, but you eat يعني from vegetations like him, and at the same time you eat fruits, you eat sour food, you eat hot food, you eat cold food, you eat meat, which he never can eat. He cannot eat meat. Not. But you come. تنظر إلى الأسد. You look to the lion. كيف هو قوي وهو يعني لكنه لا يأكل إلا اللحم. لا يستطيع أكل الخضار. You look to the lion and you see that how strong the lion is, but it cannot eat except meat. But you eat meat, you eat grass, you eat يعني vegetation, you eat. تنظر كيف أن الطير تأكل الحب. You look to the birds how they eat the for example the seeds and barley and whatsoever. لكن لا تعرف كيف تجعله خبزا فتتلذذ به. But these birds cannot turn it to bread and enjoy eating it. وأنت تحول هذا إلى خبز وإلى كعك وإلى شيء كثير. And you يعني change this to many different forms, bread, cake and many things, pie. ثم تفكر من جعلك قادر على هذا كله في الوقت الذي هم لا يقدرون. And then you think, who made you able to be so capable to do all these things while all these animals who are stronger than you, who are يعني longer than you here in life before you, but they are still unable to do even one tenth of what you can do, or maybe even one out of 100 of what you do. نعم. إذن عندما يقول الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب، والإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب says to you فقل بآياته وخير، هو يريد لفت انتباهك إلى تأمل هذه الأمور. الله عز وجل يقول أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت، وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت. ثم انظر يقول فذكر، إنما أنت مذكر. ذكر من؟ ذكر الكل، لكن من سيتذكر؟ المؤمن قال فذكر إن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين. إلى الله تعالى draws our attention to this massive creation, the heavens, the canopy, the earth, the mountains, the earth itself, to the camels. And a strange thing about camels, but you guys here in the West maybe do not know nothing about camels. And that's why now with this internet options, you better get and seek more knowledge about camels to see why Allah mentioned them in the Quran. Why Allah did not mention other things? Allah mentioned many things. Allah mentioned the elephant, the wild animals like lions, tigers, etc. But in general, سِبَاء السَّبْعِ وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبْعِ. Allah mentioned the birds. Allah mentioned the whales, the fish. The ant. Allah mentioned the cow. Many things. But only one animal, he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look to how it is created. And we need to go back and see why. Why Allah mentioned that. نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم our prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخرج بالليل إلى قرن الليل فيقرأ قول الله عز وجل نعم الآية ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانه فقنا عذاب النار. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used whenever he awakes at night, he comes out of his house and looks to the heavens and see the beauty of the heavens, the twinkling stars, the moon. And then he says, he recites this ayah, and they look and think of the creation of the heavens and earth. And then they come back to themselves and say, oh our Lord, you haven't created this for nothing. It must be for a big, big, valid reason. Yeah? Definitely. No doubt. فإذلك ينبغي الإنسان أن يعطي نفسه مجال للتفكر. لأن التفكر يزيد الإيمان. يزيد الإيمان. So the person must give himself some space of thinking of this creation. Because this will increase your iman. يقول الله عز وجل سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق. We will show them our proofs and signs of our oneness in the horizons and in themselves. Up until it is clear to them that it is the truth, that there is only one true God, which is Allah. وأنت اليوم لما تنظر إلى حال علماء الطبيعة والفلك يأتونك بعجائب. And when you come across today to see the scientists of today of the astrology and whatsoever field of science, you find that they bring you something very very strange to you, and at the same time it is amazing and cannot be except from the true God. أخونا حسين جزاه الله خير قبل يومين أراني برنامج لأحد الكفار علماء الطبيعة الكفار وقد التقطت صور غريبة وعجيبة تدل على وحدانية الله ومع ذلك هو كافر ولا يسمع ويعزو كل شيء الطبيعة. حسين today is a go show me program prepared by a kafir scientist and can see how precise and how perfect it was to show you the creation of Allah, but yet he disbelieves and he says that all this is due to the nature. لكن أنت أيها المسلم لما تنظر تزداد إيمان. So when you, O believer, look to this, you increase your iman. لذلك ينبغي علينا أن ننظر في كل شيء حولنا. That's why you have to look to everything surrounding us. أنا لا أعني بذلك تنظر إلى نظر العين. كل الناس ينظرون إلى العين. I don't mean just you look by your eye. Everybody looks by that. لكن أعني نظر المستفيد. What I mean of how to benefit out of that. أنت إذا نظرت إلى السيارة إلى الطائرة وهي من صنع الإنسان لكنها من خلق الله. When you look to the car, to the airplane, although it is man-made, but it is from the creation of Allah. هنا ترجع إلى يعني فكرك فترى أن 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 الله أن الخالق لهذا الكون والرازق والمدبر هو واحد، وهو قادر على أن يسعدك ويشقيك. When you do that, you come back to know that the creator of this whole universe and the control of it is only one, and he is able to bestow happiness on you or sadness. فتعبده وترجوه وتسأله. So you worship him and you hope him and you pray for him and ask him and supplicate him. فيعطيك. So he gives you. نعم. قال ومن آياته الليل والنهار. تفكر في هاتين الآيتين الليل والنهار. Look to this آيات of Allah. The night and day. The night and day. نعم. يقول الله عز وجل كما في سورة النمل. الله تعالى سجل في سورة النمل اللهم صل على رسول الله. يقول الله عز وجل كما في سورة النمل قل أرأيتم إن جعل الله عليكم الليل سرمدا من إله غير الله يأتيكم بالضياء. نعم يقول الله عز وجل نعم ألم يروا أنا جعلنا الليل ليسكنوا فيه والنهار مبصرا إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يؤمنون. لقوم يؤمنون. Have they not? Have they not seen that we brought them the night so that they settle in it, and the day as يعني lighted up for them so that they can see. Verily in that there are proofs and evidences for those who believe. نعم. فالذي ينظر في خلق الله عز وجل في سورة القصص أنا قلت في النمل عمال مشتاك من سورة النمل I was looking in سورة النمل it's in سورة القصص آية 7 قل أرأيتم إن جعل الله الليل عليكم سرمدا قل أرأيتم إن جعل الله عليكم الليل سرمدا إلى يوم القيامة من إله غير الله يأتيكم بضياء أفلا تعقل أفلا تسمعون قل أرأيتم إن جعل الله عليكم النهار سرمدا إلى يوم القيامة من إله غير الله يأتيكم بليل تسكنون فيه أفلا تبصرون. Say, O Muhammad, see if Allah, say, O Muhammad, see if Allah makes the night constant up until the day of resurrection, meaning no day. Who will bring you a day in which you can do your activities? Night. Because at night, people remain home. Why? because it's dark. Even if they have torchlight or spotlight or whatsoever, still they cannot see everything. Now, so what if Allah Ta'ala makes it dark all the time? How is the life going to be? It's going to be so terrible. Likewise, if Allah Ta'ala made it all the time day, and you know the day, light, noise, you want to sleep, you cannot sleep. Because eyes would only rest when it is less lighting. And not only the light itself. I mean, maybe you say, I'll get into a dark room and cover myself with a blanket. But just the feeling that it is daytime does not make you sleep well at night. And they say in today's science that there are some gases and minerals that are spread in the atmosphere only at night, that the muscles and the brain requires for rest and as a reformat or being recharged. Therefore, the scientists today say that if a person works only night shift constantly, he will eat up by many mental illnesses. Because his brain is not going to work or function well. But it does not have rest. Although he sleeps from 7 o'clock in the morning to 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, one way, directly. But yet, all this 12 hours sleep cannot provide him what the brain gets in 1 hour sleep at night. This is not, we don't say that emotionally. No, these are researches been done by Western Kuffar researchers of science. And today you can just get to the internet and just check and see. And they are kuffar, they are not Muslims, so you say. Naam. Aidan, Allah Azza wa Jal amarana an nanzur, wa natafakkar. قال ومن مخلوقاته السماوات السبع والأرضون السبع ومن فيهن ومن فيهن. الآن يعني يقول المصنف ومن آياته from the proofs of the oneness of Allah السماوات السبع ومن مخلوقاته and from the creation of Allah the seven heavens, seven layers of heaven and seven layers of air. هل قال من آيات؟ Did he say آيات? Proofs and evidences? Or he said, أو قال مخلوقات, or he said creation? The author, أنا أقول المصنف يقول, ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر. From the آيات of Allah, the proofs and signs that Allah Ta'ala kept for people to see, the night and day, the sun and the moon, right? وَمِن مَخْلُوقَاتِهِ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعِ وَالْأَرَضُونَ السَّبْعِ. And from the creation that He created is the seven layers of heavens, seven layers and seven layers of air. Which one you can see? The ayat, the sun, the moon, the night, everything, that you can see. But can you see the seven layers of heavens? الذي تستطيع أن تراه هو الآيات. الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر. وأما مخلوقات بما وصفها المصنف السماوات السبع والأراضين السبع أنت لا تستطيع أن تراها. أنت ترى فقط طبقة واحدة من السماء, طبقة واحدة من الأرض. You only can see one layer of heavens, one layer of air. وأيضا لن تستطيع أن ترى طبقة السماء. And also you cannot see or reach أن ترى أو تصل إلى طبقة السماء الأولى. The first layer of heavens. لأن بينها وبينك مسيرة 500 سنة. Because the distance between you and the first layer of heavens is a distance that to be cut in walk for 500 years. الآن خلال ساعة مشي كم تقطع من المسافة؟ One hour walk. How long you can cut? How many meters you can cut? One hour walk. Normal walk, not fast walk. 2 kilo? Okay. How? 5 kilo? Okay. How long? How far you can see? How far the strongest man in sighting can see? Up to a star?
Up to the star.
No. You go out in the street and look straight and show me what is the far thing you can see. Yani, if you are here, you can see up to 4 kilometers. Although we say yani, horizon is farther than 4 kilometers. Yes, you still can see, but you cannot recognize it definitely. Now, let's take indefinite recognition of what you see. Recognition of what you see. How far, as the sun said now, to the twinkling stars, right? The twinkling stars is even not far than maybe 50 years walk. But the first layer of heavens is 500 years of walking. 500 years of walk. Now, how come you see it? You cannot see it. You cannot see it. You only see the atmosphere. You only see the atmosphere. But you cannot see it. However, even the scientists today, when they went in the spaceships, they could not see it. They could not reach it. Because they are only within the atmosphere of the air, which is not far than maybe 100 years of walk, maybe this. And they speak to you today about the distance between the sun and the earth. And they say it is 150 million years of light. Lighting years. Not walk. SubhanAllah. And the sun, they say that the sun is only in one galaxy. And there are how many galaxies in the world, in the whole world? They say uncountable. The kuffar center. So what does that mean? It's difficult for you, but now Allah has told you that there are 7 layers of heavens. You have to believe. You have to believe. Because He already gave you the proofs of that He is the Creator. So you have to believe it. He gave you the proofs. The night, the day, the sun, the moon. Minimum. Now, many, many other proofs he told you about. Allah Azza wa Jal أخبرك بآيات التي تدلك على عظمته ووحدانيته. ثم أخبرك بشيء من مخلوقاته. فيجب أن تصدق حتى لو كان عقلك ما يستوعبها ونظرك لا يصل إليها. So he gave you the proofs and evidence of his oneness, his greatness. Greatness And then he told you about this, some of his creation, that you might not be able to, or you definitely not going to be able to see it or comprehend with it. Now, but if you accept, why? Because he already gave you the proof of his oneness and greatness. So now you don't need to have a proof for everything he tells you. Because this is the difference between a believer and a disbeliever. الله عز وجل أعطاك آيات على وحدانيته وعظمته ثم أخبرك عن أمور لن تتمكن من معرفتها بعقلك ونظرك فماذا عليك أن تفعل؟ يجب أن تسلم. وهذا الفرق بين الإيمان والكفر. ماذا قال الله عز وجل في بداية سورة البقرة؟ ولا الله تعالى سأل بقرة سورة البقرة ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون أول شيء بالغيب. Those who believe in the unseen. First thing. First characteristic of the believers that they believe in the unseen. ما إذا أصبحوا لا يرى لا يؤمنون إلا بما هو مشاهد هذا ليس إيمان. But if they just believe in what they see, then this is not a belief. This is not a belief. نعم. قال. نعم. لا لا this is not correct. Some people say that this number has some significance because Allah mentioned 7 layers, 7 eve, 7 days. Now, first of all, this hadith of 70 times in Ramadan, this is not proof. Not a proof. But, even if it is, the one who brought us the Quran was Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who told us this hadith, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did he pay any attention to this? Nothing. So we don't need to. There are many people come to say, look, the number 7, how many times mentioned in the Quran, with how many things, many worships. Look to the number of ayat, or the number of letters in the ayah. This all nonsense. Now, only what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us and told us, what the Sahaba stopped by, that's enough for us. And if our iman cannot be built by what their iman was built, then whatever iman we gain is false. As Ibn Mas'ud said.
Yes, because what you say, like some Muslim and Muslim saints, for example, the 7 heavens and 7 earth, they both have already said that between us and the earth, they're like 7 layers of clouds, start to clear, so they try to link it.
Yeah, but we don't get to that because we are believers. We just believe in what we are told, and we don't get into anything else more deeper than what it is. Now, it does not benefit us. The important thing to us is that when we look to the verses of the ayat of Allah and the creation of Allah, we come back to say that Allah is great, Allah is one. And then this has to drive us to be on the way of Rasulullah. I don't say to be obedient, because many people can explain obedience to obedience to their own hopes and wishes and because some of them believe that you still can be obedient even if you don't, if you just pray and that's it, khalas. No. Obedience is not one level. The best of it is to be Abu Nuwat wa sallam wa sallam. Now, anyway, It does not, yani, back to your question, it does not have any magnificent in Islam. ثم أتى بهذه الآيات من سورة فصلت الآية 37. He brought this ayah, سورة فصلت آية 37. ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر. وهنا المهم, لا تسجدوا للشمس والقمر. From the ayat of Allah, the ayat that proves the oneness of Allah, is the night and day, the sun and moon. And then Allah Ta'ala said, do not prostrate from the sun and moon. These are only ayat. Although they are big and yani, magnificent, but you are not allowed to worship them. You are not allowed to worship them. Rather that you worship who is in need for them. You worship the tree and the tree in need for the sun. You worship man and man is in need for sun and moon. How come? Don't worship nothing but Allah. وَلَا رَقَمْ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. But prostrate for Allah alone. The one who prostrate for Allah, the one who created them, if you really worship Him alone. وقوله تعالى إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يغشي الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره ألا له الخلق فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. فتبارك الله تبارك الله رب العالمين تبارك الله رب العالمين كما في سورة الأعراف في الآية 54. إن ربكم الله. Verily your Lord is Allah. الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام. The one who created the heavens and earth in 6 days. ثم استوى على العرش. And then he settled on his throne. يغشي الليل النهار. يغشي الليل النهار. He is the one who makes the day removes the night and the night removes the day. يطلبه حثيثا. One of them runs after the other all the time. They run after each other all the time, day and night, day and night, day and night. None of them can stay permanent. والشمس والقمر والنجوم هو الذي جعلها مسخرات بأمره. And the sun, the moon, the stars are only acting upon his command. فيأمر الله عز وجل الشمس أن تظهر فتظهر. And Allah Ta'ala commands the sun to appear and it appears. ويأمر القمر أن يظهر فيظهر. And he commands the moon to appear and it appears. ويأمر الشمس أن تحتجب وراء القمر أو تحتجب يعني وراء الأرض فتحتجب. And Allah Ta'ala commands the air and the sun to disappear behind the air and it disappears. ويأمر القمر أن يحتجب فيحتجب فلي وراء الأرض فيحتجب. And Allah Ta'ala commands the moon to disappear behind the air and it disappears. ويأمر النجوم أن تبقى في السماء وتلمع. And Allah Ta'ala commands the stars to remain in the heavens and twinkle and blink. نعم. ويأمر النجوم أن تقع تصبح شهب لقتل الشياطين وحرقهم. And Allah Ta'ala commands the stars to be shooting stars and leave their places, chase the shayateen. والحاصل أن هذا الكون كله مسخر بأمر الله. And all of this universe is only controlled by Allah. ألا له الخلق والأمر. انظر هذه الآية جامعة للربوبية والألوهية. This ayah has gathered the ربوبية and ألوهية. ألا له الخلق هذه الربوبية. لا يخلق إلا هو. عظيم الخلق ودقيق الخلق هو الذي يخلقه. Verily the creation belongs to him. He is the only one who creates. The mass of creation, and the sun and moon and heavens and earth, and the minor, the small creation like ant and atom, all are created by Allah. Right? Likewise, الأمر له وحده. كذلك فإن الأمر له وحده. هو الذي يأمر. من تعبد؟ متى تعبد؟ كيف تعبد؟ He is the only one who can command who you worship, when you worship, how you worship. وتعبد بكل معنى العبودية. And worship by all meaning, by the whole meaning of worship. All meaning. يعني الركوع والسجود والذبح والنذر والخوف والرجاء وأيضا الاحتكام إلى الله يعني التحاكم لا يكون إلا إليه. You have to worship by obeying him. When he commanded you to prostrate, you prostrate. Bow you bow. Slaughter you slaughter. Fear you fear him. نعم. He told you not to work except for him, you work for him alone. And not only that, but even when يعني, you want to do judgment, you do as he told you. He said, you go back to his book, you go back to the sunnah of the Prophet, you have to go. لكن ليس كما يزعم بعض الناس يقولون لا إله إلا الله لا خالق إلا الله. والآخرون يقولون لا إله إلا الله لا حاكم إلا الله. لا الله جمع بينهما خالق وحاكم. هو سبحانه خالق وحاكم. It is not as some people يعني identify لا إله إلا الله by saying that no creator but Allah. And some others who are involved in politics they say لا إله إلا الله means no ruler but Allah. Allah تعالى refuted both. He said ألا له الخلق والأمر. Belongs to he, for him belongs the creation and the command or ruling. As he is the only creator, he must be the only ruler. But at the same, I mean, we do not separate and split. No. We have to take them together. نعم. ولذلك تجد أغلب الذين اشتغلوا بالسياسة يعني بالحاكمية من هؤلاء الخوارج لا يعنون بتصحيح عقائد الناس. يرون الناس يعبدون قبور وكذا ما يهتمون. And that's why you see the people, those who are involved in يعني حاكمية or fighting against rulers and this, and they claim that we want the rulers to go back to the ruling of the Quran and Sunnah. You see them يعني watching the people worshiping other than Allah, Muslims worshiping the graves, but they do nothing for them. They just keep quiet. وهذا غلط. And that is wrong. لأن الله عز وجل لما أرسل رسوله أرسله إلى قوم يعبدون غير الله وعندهم من الأحكام التي لا تتلائم مع حكم الله. فأمر أولا أن تكون العبادة لله. So when he Allah تعالى send the messengers, he send them to people who worship other than Allah and at the same time ruled the people with ruling that does not match with the ruling of Allah. with what he began was correcting the worships. لأن الإنسان إذا أصبح عابدا لله مطيعا له سهل عليه أن يتحول، لكن إذا كان عابدا لغير الله ستتحكم فيه تلك المعبودات. وأضرب لكم أبين لكم الآن. Because it is when the person worships Allah properly, it's easy then for him to accept the rulings of Allah. But when he worships other than Allah, besides Allah, then it is difficult for him to accept the ruling of Allah. And I will give you examples of our life. نعم. العابد الموحد لله عز وجل، العابد الموحد لله عز وجل يرضى بحكم الله مثلا في القصاص. قال عز وجل: ولكم في القصاص حياة يا أولي الألباب. The one who worships only Allah, he will accept the ruling of Allah and killing the killer. Because he finds that in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah seeks it. نعم. يؤتى برجل يعبد الولي. مسلم ويعبد وليا. يقول أنه مسلم ويعبد الولي. They bring a man who is, he claims that he is Muslim, but he at the same time worships the wali. يؤتى به إلى القضاء. They bring him to the court. فيقال له ويكون متهم بسرقة. He is suspected of or accused of stealing. ولا توجد أدلة. There is no strong proof. فيقال له احلف بالله أنك لم تسرق. It is said to him, swear by Allah that you did not steal. Bismillah. فيحلف بالله أنه ما سرق. So he swears by Allah that he did not steal. فإذا قيل له احلف بالولي يقول لا. ما احلف بالولي. حدثني أحد الناس قريبا. Just recently, one of the brothers told me about something. He said that he's from Sudan. He said, in Sudan, there was a fight between two guys, and one killed the other. And this witness was available there, was there. But the killer has bought his witnessing by money. Now, so the killer has, as I said, يعني دفع له مال يشتري به شهادته. فلما أتى عند القاضي, when he was brought to the judge, قال القاضي: هل فلان هذا قتل فلان؟ قال لا. The judge asked him, did this person kill that person? He said, no. قال احلف بالله أنه لا عفوا وكان العكس هو شهد على فلان أنه قتل وهو لم يقتل. I'm sorry, it is the opposite. He was witnessing that this person has killed that person, but he knew that he is not the one who killed him. He was there when that person was killed. لكن بعض الناس من لو عداوا مع هذا دفع له مال. Some people who have enmity with this person and hatred paid this witness money to say that he is a killer. فقال له القاضي احلف بالله انه هو القاتل. The judge said to him, swear by Allah that he is a killer. فحلف and he swear. فقال هذا المتهم: يا شيخ لو سمحت, this suspected person or accused person, he said, excuse me judge, I want to ask the witness one thing. قال له تفضل. وهو يعلم أنه على طريقة من طرق الصوفية الذين يعظمون الأولياء. He knows that he is among one of the Sufi ways that they respect the أولياء highly. فقال له احلف بفلان سيدي فلان. He said to him, you swear by the holy name سيدي فلان. Right? فقال لا. إلى هذا الحد لا. After this, I cannot. I will have to say the truth. He did not get. قال لا. ما قتل. فقال له القاضي يسأل المتهم. The judge asked the suspected person or the accused person, how did you know that? كيف عرفت هذا؟ كيف فعلت هذا؟ فقال أعرف أن هؤلاء يعظمون أولياءهم أكثر من الله. Said, I know that these people respect their أولياء more than Allah. يعني يحلفون بالله لو كاذبين لكن ما يحلفون بالولي إلا صادقين. They swear by Allah even if they are liars, but they don't swear by Allah by the wali even if they are or except if they are honest. فهذا يدلنا على أن هناك انحراف كبير في العقيدة عند الناس. قال والرب هو المعبود. He said and the Lord, the Lord is the one should be worshipped. نعم. I don't know how much time. Who could? No, he cannot because he is scared that if he says so, the wali will harm him. I'm telling you that is so obedient to the wali more than Allah. نعم، that's why. قال والرب هو المعبود، and he said that the Lord is the one to be worshipped. والدليل قوله تعالى يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم. تكلمنا بهذه الآية بلقاء الأمس الآية 21 من سورة البقرة وقلنا أنها أول آية في أمر. يسأل ديوك سبلين this آية 21 من سورة البقرة and he said that this is the first آية contains command in the Quran. First ayah contains command. وكان أول أمر إفراد الله بالعبادة. And the first command in the Quran was to single out Allah in worship. أول أمر. أول أمر في القرآن هو إفراد الله بالعبادة. نعم. قال ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى عند هذه الآية. Ibn Kathir رحمه الله تعالى said while he was interpreting his ayah الخالق لهذه الأشياء هو المستحق للعبادة. ما هذه الأشياء؟ قال الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم الذي جعلكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم. ستة أمور. He said that the creator of these things is the one who deserves to be worshipped. What are these things? The one who created you and the people before you. The one who settled the earth for you as a bed or a place to sit, to settle on. And the heavens, and he created the heavens as an economy for you. And he sent down water from the heavens for you. And he brought with this water vegetations out of the ear. So these six things are enough for one to know who deserves to be worshipped. Who he be obedient to, loyal to, afraid of, hope his mercy. نعم. فهذه كلها إنما تكون لله عز وجل. فنسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يرزقنا وإياكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح والفقه في الدين. والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. إن شاء الله سوف نواصل الكلام على الأصول الثلاثة بدون توقف غدا الخميس والجمعة، وإن لم ننتهي حتى الأسبوع المقبل، ونعتذر عن درس الأجرمية أولا لأنه لا يكفي 4 أو 5 أيام الأجرمية. الأمر الثاني نحتاج أن نواصل الحديث عن الأصول الثلاثة، ونريد أن نخصص يوم للأخطاء العقدية التي يقع فيها الناس. I said that inshallah we are going constantly to go on explaining الأصول الثلاثة after الفجر, even tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and the whole next week inshallah, because the next week is scheduled for Ajramiya, the Arabic grammar, which is not enough for it to explain it. So we don't want to go to one quarter or one third of the book and then stop. The other thing is, we want to finish this book, the Usul Thalatha, to get the benefit of it. And also we want to have 1 or 2 days to speak about the mistakes of Aqidah people commit, Muslims commit today. We don't want just to speak about what was in the past of the mistakes. Now, we want to see, because I still see in many masajid of the Muslimin number of mistakes in the Aqidah. So we want to go through them so we correct ourselves based on this and benefit from the ilm that we speak. Wallahu a'lam. And now, if you have any questions.
I just wanted to ask, what's the significance of the Islam?
Of the eclipse, the sun and moon.
When they finally come
to it's a reminder from Allah, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clarified that. He said, الشمس والقمر آيتان من آيات الله يخوف الله بهما عباده. فإذا رأيتموهما فافزعوا إلى الصلاة والصدقة والاستغفار. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the one who explained to us and told us what is the significance of the eclipse of the sun and moon. And he said that the sun and moon never eclipse for death or life of any of you, but there are two signs of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala reminds and thread the people with, so they return back. And then the Prophet said, whenever you see them, then pray, seek forgiveness, seek and repent, and do good deeds. Naam? Wallahu a'lam. Any other?
I learned a different topic. I learned some friends who want and who are interested very much in the topic 3, and they want to do this start and something new. And there are going to be many things from the sea in Hawaii.
Some of the scholars, again, it's an issue of fiqh, it has different opinions like any other issue of fiqh. Some of the scholars say that, like Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the examiner of Sahih Bukhari, he said that any animal found, any animal from the animals of the sea, has the same shape of animals of the land, which are not supposed to be eaten on land, then we cannot eat them if they are from the sea animals. Yeah, for example, the lion. There is a sea lion. So they say sea lion you cannot eat. Why? Because it looks like the lion of land. And the lion, snake, etc. And that's all wrong, honestly. Because the other scholars said, no, this is wrong, because Allah Ta'ala told us that the animals of the sea are all halal. Now, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked about the water of the sea. Is it pure for wudu? Isa Sallam said, the sea is pure for wudu, and all, even the dead animal found in the sea, are good to eat, are halal to eat. Now, the ruling is, whenever you see land animals that normally you are allowed to eat, but you see, you find them dead, you cannot eat. A sheep, it's allowed to eat, right? But if you find a dead sheep, you cannot eat. Cannot use it, you cannot eat. Correct? So, that's why we say, anything in the sea is allowed to eat, except if it is proved that it can harm you. That's a different thing. And it is not forbidden because it is not permissible, but because it harm if you eat. Huh? Allahu Akbar. So by that we know that sharks, sea shells, or whatsoever, it's permissible to eat. It's permissible to eat. Allah. That's all?
I was going to ask if it's permissible to pray between Asr and Maghrib and Fajr and Sunrise, and I was very confused by what you said about the offense.
It is offense. Three times you are not allowed to pray optional prayers, which has no specific reason to pray them.
So say for example,
I'll come. Yani between Fajr and the sunrise. When the sun is at the zenith time until the objects have shadow. And from Asr time until the sunset. And this time also it's not general like that. From Asr time until the sun become turns to orange color, it's still permissible to pray. Not generally right after Asr, because although the Prophet ﷺ said from after Asr to sunset, but he used to pray optional prayers, and then he, when he was asked, he said, as long as the sun is still alive, yellow. Because the sun turns before Maghrib, maybe half an hour before Maghrib, turns to orange color, and then goes to reddish. Then it disappears in red color. Now, as long as it is yellow, then it is permissible to pray general optional prayers. In these three times, where it is not permissible to pray general optional prayers, the prayers that has a reason to pray them, it's allowed to pray them in. Example, you came to the masjid after Fajr. Yani, you know that there is a circle held after Fajr in this masjid. You tried to make it to pray Fajr here, but you could not, so you prayed in a masjid on the way. Now you came, what do you do? You already prayed Fajr, so what do? You sit down? No. You pray Fajr. So you pray to Rak'ah. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if any one of you enter the masjid, let him not to sit down until he prayed to Rak'ah. That's in Sahih Bukhari. Nah? So, and the like of this, to Rak'ah, if you are making tawaf, right after Fajr you started your tawaf, or maybe before Fajr you started, and then Fajr caught you and you still have one or two rounds. So, right after Fajr you completed your one or two rounds. What would you do? The ulama say that these two rak'at are not general optional prayer. This is a specific related to it is what we say. It has a reason, it has a due to perform it. It's not just optional. What is the optional prayers mean by the optional general optional. Now, you prayed Fajr in this masjid. You already prayed the two rak'ah before Fajr. And you prayed Fajr with the jama'ah. And then after Fajr, you said, let me pray two rak'ah or four rak'ah. Say, no, this is haram. You cannot do that. But when there is a reason for them, yes. Allah. You wanted to say something. So we already answered. Now, if you are here in the masjid, sitting for the class, right, and you felt that you need to go to the toilet, you went to the toilet. The toilet, as in here in ICT and many masajid here in the West, and at the same entrance of the masjid. Some people, as I mentioned yesterday, some people consider that this is part of the masjid. They say, no. Toilet cannot be part of the masjid. Even if it is within the parameter or the boundaries of the masjid, it is still not considered. Even you enter to it from the masjid, like this one, you have to come across the masjid to get into the toilet. But yet, there is a portion that is out of the masjid. Yeah? So if you go there and get to the toilet and then perform wudu, you cannot come and sit. You have to pray to rak'ah. Okay? Allahu a'lam. Na'am. In some?
In some madhab.
Madhab.
When the jama'ah.
Yeah.
The rak'ah.
Yeah.
The
correct one, the correct opinion, there are many different opinions in regard reciting and the jama'ah prayer. The correct opinion that we take is that Surah Al-Fatiha that to be recited by everyone who is praying. He's the Imam, he's the Muqtadi, behind the Imam, the follower, he's praying for himself. Anybody prays has to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Yeah, otherwise the rak'ah is not valid. Whether it is in the loud prayer type or silent or whatsoever. The Surah Al-Fatiha got to be recited in every rak'ah by every person who is praying. Are you praying? Then you have to recite.
While the Imam is
talking.
While the Imam
is talking. That's different, yani, it has different meaning. If you know your Imam, from the Imam that after he finishes Surah Al-Fatiha, he gives some time. He keeps silent for some time. You know him. Then you better just keep listening to his recitation of Fatiha. And when he stops, then you recite Surah Al-Fatiha. But if you know that your Imam does not give time, right after Fatiha, he starts the other surah. Or you come to a masjid, you don't know what kind of Imam is he. Then what you do? You recite with him, Surah Al-Fatiha. But that to be after him, yani, if he says Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you don't say along with him. You wait until you finish, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, then you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, you say Ar-Rahman like that. Because you have to follow the Imam. Mm-hmm.
With him,
because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man wafaqa ta'meen wa ta'meema, تأمين الإمام تأمين الملائكة ويتواءد مع الإمام من وابق تأمين الإمام غفر له وإبر أجهز أمين لتأمين of the إمام وليس تأمين says أمين together with the إمام the reward of it is that his sins will be forgiven. تفضل. No, there is a difference. The sunnah is to say it loud, but if you say it silent. But what do you mean by silent? I mentioned this yesterday. There are some people when they pray, they stand like this, closing mouth, imagining that. Yani they think about the surah or, but they don't move their lips. This is not recitation. When you just read Quran by your by your brain, this is thinking, not reciting. Now, so you have to move your lips. And I said the ayahs, and they were تحرك لسانك لتعديل به. Now, so if you say Ameen in a low voice, no problem. That's okay. The sunnah to say it loud. Ameen. What if you say Ameen? That's a mishkila. But to say, you consider yourself saying Ameen. Close mouth. This is not Ta'ameen. Ta'ameen, two questions. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the brother is asking this portion of silence between Fatiha and the other surah by the Imam. Is it something the Prophet ﷺ done it, Sahaba done it? The Prophet ﷺ, Nabi ﷺ, kana yaskut sakta basita ba'da al-Fatiha. Lakin laysat tawila lil-hadd alladhi tuqra' ma'ahu fi surah al-Fatiha. The Prophet ﷺ used to keep silent for small or a little time after Surah Al-Fatiha and before he begins the other surah, but it's not long enough to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. لكن بعض العلم يقول السنة أنه نفسه مقدار السكت هذا ليس هو الذي عليه الكلام. Some of the ulama say that the important thing that he saw Sallam was found silent after Fatiha. Yani the length of it, that is a different thing. That is left to the ijtihad. الذي تميل إليه النفس أن المأموم يقرأ مع الإمام. مع إمام يقرأ فاتحة مع الإمام. What I prefer is that the مأموم recites with the Imam. تسورة الفاتحة at the same time the Imam is studying, but as I said, once he finishes the ayah, he'll begin. He stops. Tani? We'll take the second, because he said he has to. He already reserved. But we're not going to give him a chance of a chance.
Yeah, yeah. When the Imam, he starts the Salah, he says, Allahu Akbar.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
What is the rule of
that? نعم. صحيح لكن هذا خطأ يحتاج أن ننبه عليه. يعني the prayer is correct, but يعني it's a mistake that it needs to be corrected on. And I noticed, يعني for example, in this masjid, number of mistakes. But we are going to go through the etiquettes of masajid through many of these things. يعني مثلا المؤذن. الله أكبر الله الله أكبر الله أكبر. This is wrong. This is wow. This is shirk. It says Allah and Akbar. It is الله أكبر ضمة over there. الله أكبر الله أكبر. نعم. And وآخر يقول الله أكبر. هذه سمعته أنا أكبر. سمعته هنا في هذا المسجد. I hear it here in this mosque. الله أكبر. هذا خطأ. وبعضهم يقول كما قال الأخ الله أكبر and extend الله, that is wrong also, هذا خطأ أيضا. وبعضهم يقول الله أكبر وهذا أيضا خطأ, this is a mistake, the proper way to say الله أكبر, يعني no need for this extent, يعني but they think يعني when you extend you give a chance for everybody to do takbir, like that's not, but if you have 100 rows, what how you do? So in Medina and Mecca they should remain 10 minutes saying Allah till everybody has it. That's wrong, it's only, it's a word, just a word, it's not يعني, it does not need to be done on a melody way. It's just Allahu Akbar. نعم. في الركوع بعضهم يذهب إلى الركوع Allahu Akbar. That's wrong. وفي السجود أسوأ. من القيام ينزل إلى السجود Allahu Akbar. That's wrong also. It's only Allahu Akbar. نعم. بعضهم يقول إذا قلت سريعا الله أكبر خاصة للركوع والسجود يركع قبلي ويسجد قبلي, يقول هذا غلط, وهو يستي الإمام سب إمام سيب I say just short الله أكبر, especially when going to ركوع والسجود the people behind me they follow ركوع والسجود before me, so this is their mistake, teach them but as كما في صحيح البخاري الصحابي يقول كان أحدنا لا يثني ظهره حتى يقع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ساجدا. He said that one of us does not bend his back up until the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم completely is on sujood. هذا خطأه, لا نعالج خطأه بخطأ جديد للإمام. We don't يعني repair his mistake by committing another mistake by the imam. That's wrong. لا. The sunnah, this called takbir of, يعني takbir intiqad, takbir of shifting from one position to another. So you said when you are shifting. So you are understanding. Going to sujood, you say Allahu Akbar, and you go. When you rise from sujood, Allahu Akbar, and you go. You don't, and this is another mistake. Some imams, they go for sujood until they are about to put their forehead on the floor, they say Allahu Akbar. Because they might. Okay, was that possible at the time of Rasulullah or not? Did do this mistake or not? They did. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Okay, we have to invent another way. Yeah, he said to them, you are wrong. Wait until I am fully in sujood or fully in ruku. He corrected them, so we have to correct them. If they insist, then up to them, this is their mistake. This is their mistake. Allah. The last also? Okay, last of it. There are different opinions of the scholars in regard to this. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he takes the opinion that no matter what the reason is, if you did not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, this rak'ah is not considered. Even if you catch the Imam in record. But although that, in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet said clearly that the rak'ah is considered by catching the ruku. And in other hadith, not in Bukhari but authentic, a man came late and the Prophet ﷺ was already in ruku, and the Masjid of Rasulullah is not like your masjid, the gate at the front here. Now the Masjid of Rasulullah, the gate at the back. So he entered the gate and both went takbir and he went to ruku and then he walked in ruku position to catch the ruku. After the Salah, the Prophet ﷺ heard him. You know, when you walk in bowing, it's not as calm, as quiet as when you walk in standing. So he said, who's the one who walked in bowing? The man said, I did it. So he said, may Allah Ta'ala increase your ilm, but don't do it again. Don't do it again. So now, if this, if catching the Imam in ruku' is not considered to be enough for the rak'ah, the Prophet ﷺ would have told him, okay, go and pray again, because he missed one rak'ah. But he ﷺ didn't care. So from then the ulama say that if the person catches the Imam in the ruku' and could have said at least one time Subhan Rabbi al-Azim before the Imam rises up, then this ruku' is valid. This is quite as well. And enough for that. Now I'm saying.
A fear of movement.
No.
Then if you're getting off from your segment.
No.
And doing it with a little bit for that. Do you, from the love of the breath, get up to be the Allah of the Prophet?
Now you say Allahu Akbar while you start leaving the ground, while your forehead leaving the ground. You now your forehead leaving the ground, you say Allahu Akbar. Whether you are from those who tell your opinion of Jasat al-Istiraha or not, because Jasat al-Istiraha, as some of the schools of Sunnah, they say it is Sunnah. Some scholars of Al-Sunnah, they say it is not Sunnah because it's only done by the Prophet ﷺ when he became old. And he did not say to the people, do Jasat al-Istiraha. He just done it. They said he was in need for it. Because he was old, so he needs, before he stands up, to rest and then push on the ground and stand. Because he became old. Mm-hmm. That is one opinion. But the other opinion say no. As long as you done it, we consider it sunnah, we're going to do it. Now for these people, we say that you do not raise your body up, sit down in Jalsa al-Istiraha, and there you say Allahu Akbar. Or sit down and when you stand up you say Allahu Akbar. No. You say Allahu Akbar while raising from sujood. Rising up from sujood. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وفيكم بارك الله after we close the shop what
no if do a salat al-shuruq if you're in the masjid until after sunrise what's the prescribed length you have to wait after sunrise before you say you do your two and a half
the Prophet ﷺ told us that when the sun is one arm length above the highest of the town of the city. And if you have mountains, the sun already raised, the sun is here, you don't pray until it is arm length. I mean, you don't go to the mountain and put your arm, but from remote, like this. If it is up there, you can't pray.
So if we assume, let's say, 7:30, sun has...
What time the sun rises here?
7:30.
7:30?
So 15-20 minutes is more than enough.
And you just do your 2 rak'ah.
Yeah, 2 rak'ah. That is, that provides you a reward of Hajj and Umrah. And I don't know why the people in the UK, while it is too expensive to go for Hajj and Umrah, they don't do every day Hajj and Umrah.
Is that authentic?
Yes, it is authentic. Yeah.
Wa alaykum
as-salam. Wa alaykum as-salam.